All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
A big thing happened this week, Gem. We found out who's up for the ARIA Awards this year.
This is massive. So many incredible artists have nominations.
So the last few years, I feel like the ARIAs has been climbing back some credibility. There were a few people for a couple of years going, oh, no one really cares about the ARIAs anymore. But then they started to get more credible artists nominated. They got bigger acts from overseas to come and play at the awards, bigger TV ratings. And now it's got the prestige that the ARIAs deserves again, which is good.
And old mate Keith Urban's hosting it.
Yes, that's going to be amazing. Now, I had this idea. I wanted to, instead of waiting until November for the awards to be given out, I thought we should just give the awards out right now ourselves.
Oh, that sounds good.
So we won't even need to make a collective decision. We'll just make separate decisions on who should be given each of the following awards. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Album of the Year, the nominations for Best Album are Amy Shark for Love Monster. Good album. Courtney Barnett is up for one for her album Tell Me How You Really Feel. Gurumal is up for one, the late great Gurumal. Pinyao for their album Chang'a. Great album name. And Troy Sivan for Bloom. So they're the album of the year nominees. Five of them. Who is getting your vote?
It's got to be Troy Sivan.
I'm torn between Troy and Amy Shark.
Yeah, because her album was really good too.
It's very frustrating. But the ARIA goes to Troy Sivan.
Woo!
I love our non-official ARIAs. All right, we'll just do one more. Best pop release. So this is about the best pop album, song, whatever of the year. Up for that one. Five songs. Spent 8 weeks at number one on the ARIA charts. You got to say they're a shoo-in for this one. Amy Shark for Love Monster. Dean Lewis is up for Be Alright. Another huge Australian hit. Jack River is up for one. If you haven't heard Jack River, she's amazing. And Troy Sivan for Bloom. Who is getting your vote for best pop release?
Oh, this is so hard because I really love Amy Shark, Five Sauce, and Troy Sivan. But I feel like Young Blood is a song that really, like, stood out.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Troy and Amy, but I know Young Blood's just that song.
And it was huge as well. Like,
yeah.
it was the most successful Australian single in literally years. I want to put my vote in for Jack River just because I really like her and I like to see people who maybe didn't get as much, like, commercial radio play getting a real vibe from the ARIAs this year. So I'm putting my vote in for Jack River. Are you going with Troy? We're locking it in?
Yeah.
And the ARIA goes to Troy Sivan again. ARIAs are going to be coming back in November. We can't wait for them. It's always a fun night. We'll find out soon who the big international guests performing are. I have been told who one of them is, and it's pretty damn phenomenal. So get ready for that. The ARIA's coming back.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
New hit.
So last week we were talking about the new Little Mix and Nicki Minaj song, which was coming out, which came out this week finally.
Very good.
I know it is. It's so good. They've been teasing us on their socials. This song has a really cool sound to it. The guitar strings, Nick. And it's just kind of like got that Jamaican kind of feel, I guess.
Yeah, it feels very, very island, which is very good to find going into summer. I think it could be quite a good summer bop for us. And Ed Sheeran co-wrote it, right?
Yeah, Ed Sheeran and Jess Glynn. So this song was actually meant for Jess Glynn's album, but it didn't fit, so she passed it on to the Little Mix
girls.
There
you go. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, no, thanks for giving them a hit because this is going to be, I think, one of their big hits.
Yeah, and getting Nicki Minaj on the song, I mean, that's just like woman power.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
Now, Gem, you might remember when Shawn Mendes dropped In My Blood at the very top of this album lifespan. He dropped two songs at once. He dropped In My Blood and this one, Lost in Japan.
Oh, yeah, that was right.
He said it was inspired by Justin Timberlake. So you can kind of feel that sort of groove that JT had in a lot of his songs, and it's very different for Sean. That song kind of, we loved it, but it didn't really do any damage on the charts. It didn't really do any damage at radio. And it's really interesting that like nearly a year after those two songs came out earlier on this year, he's actually re-released the song as a remix by Zedd, and it's pretty much taken on a new life. It sounds completely different.
I love it when artists do that.
Like, sounds like a Zedd song, obviously. And they haven't just put this out willy-nilly. This has been added to radio right around the country, including right here on this radio station, which means you're going to hear it in full in just a second. And yeah, I think it's really interesting that artists kind of believe in a song so much that they'll rework it and they'll put some new elements into it, whether it be a feature from a rapper like Little Mix, who we were just talking about. They've done that with a lot of their songs to make them proper smashes, whether it's changing up the production or getting someone to entirely remake the song.
It's good because otherwise the song goes to waste, but it's such an amazing song.
I know. So rude.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
Gem, it's time to play a game.
Yeah, I love this game so much.
This is Who Said It on the Socials, a game where we read out tweets and then give each other three options as to who could have tweeted it, and then we have to guess who tweeted it, and then it might be right.
That's yeah.
Kind of how it works. Time for Gem to ask me the tweets this week.
Hey, let's see how you go, Nick.
Probably terribly.
Putting first it out tweet. There. On the hunt for coffee. Amy Shark, Conrad Sewell or Dua Lipa?
On the hunt for coffee. Amy Shark, Conrad Sewell or Dua Lipa? Who tweeted this? Who's a coffee fiend? I know Amy Shark drinks a lot of beer, therefore...
Oh, really?
Probably needs coffee the next morning. Conrad still strikes me as the kind of guy that would just only drink water. You know those people that don't drink anything other than just straight water or mineral water? I'm locking in Amy Shark for this one.
Doom, doom. It was...
Who?
Our mate Conrad Sewell, he's here touring with Kygo, which kicks off soon. So he was in Melbourne on the hunt for coffee.
That makes sense. Melbourne has such a reputation for coffee, but I don't think I've ever had a good coffee there.
Yeah, you've got to find it.
I know. I've got to go search. I'm there next
Ask
week.
Conrad.
The radio awards are on next week. We're going to be in Melbourne for those. We'll have to go searching for them then, eh?
Yeah, definitely find one.
All right, tweet number two. I'm 0 from 1 so far, which is great work from me. Feeling fantastic about it.
Oh, hi there, baby. Meghan Trainor, Halsey, or Bebe Rexha?
Oh, hi there, baby.
Yeah.
Meghan Trainor, Bebe Rexha, and who was the other one?
Halsey.
Halsey just put a new song out, so I'm going to go with Halsey.
Okay, you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
All right. Deal, deal.
Oh, what?
It was our girl Bebe Rexha. She was at the American Music Awards and there was a photo that she posted of her looking amazing and she said, oh, hi there, baby.
Damn it. All right, let's see if I can have a clean sweep of not winning.
All right.
Final tweet time.
I got these because I have amazing fans. Tay-Tay, Camila Cabello or Cardi B?
Tay-Tay never tweets. Cardi B would just tweet with a lot of expletives. So I'm going to lock in whoever the other... Camila Cabello.
Yay!
I'm right!
Yeah.
Yes! Finally! I knew I'd get it at some point. 1 from 3. Your turn next week. I'm going to make them really hard for you.
Oh, thank you.
This week tonight's double whammy.
So we're going to be doing a double whammy of a guy who has just announced he's bringing his tour here in the summer, January and February, George Ezra.
I'm so excited about this. George Ezra coming after having one of the biggest songs of the year in Shotgun and before that, Paradise. I love this guy, Jem.
I know, he seems so nice and he went over to Europe, to Spain to write his album and he was staying like an Airbnb when he was writing it. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And that's why he named the album? Breakfast at Tamara's or
Tamara's,
something?
Yeah, that's it.
And so Tamara's the person whose Airbnb stayed at.
Yeah, it's so nice to see that. So we got loads of inspo. So he's going to be doing shows in Perth, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney and Adelaide. And tickets do go on sale on Tuesday, October 16th at 9 a.m. And I reckon these are going to sell pretty fast.
Absolutely. He's doing some relatively big venues, but not the biggest venues. So for the size of, he's doing like 5,000 seater venues. So they'll sell out pretty quickly for a guy of George Ezra's size. But he seems like, and I'm not just saying that because he's a very tall man. I'm saying that because he's a very popular man. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No, I haven't actually.
Is he just like, he hangs out with all his music friends and just talks about stuff. And he's actually a really engaging interviewer and conversationalist. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Have a listen when we get off the air, if you can be bothered.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
Katy Perry has announced that she is taking a break from music, Nick.
This is very sad. I only saw her a couple of weeks ago on the tour that she did for the latest album, and it was one of the most off-hook tours I've ever seen. It was the most ridiculous night of my life.
Oh, I wish I went. I wanted to come back soon, but obviously she's taking a break, so she might not be here for a while. But she did a post on her Insta saying, "I love making music, I love writing, but I don't feel like I'm a part of the game anymore. I just feel like I'm an artist." And she just needs a break to just, because she's been touring for 10 years, so.
Yeah. I mean, she is like an OG pop star now. You know, she was her first real successes were around 2006, 07. You can't just like do that incessantly and not have a break. And like she was on, I think, almost the 110th show of the tour when I saw her. And she did look, she still killed it, but she looked like she was going through the motions and a bit exhausted.
You'd be exhausted, yeah.
And just exhausted from the emotional, you know, thing of pouring your heart out every night and singing your truths, and also dancing like a maniac as well. And she just seemed a bit unhinged last time I saw her. So I'm actually glad she's taking a break.
It's good because then she can focus on herself. And obviously, like, when you're like an artist, I think sometimes you kind of lose yourself because you're being someone.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Exactly.
Like you're playing a character kind of thing.
You almost are. And as much of a sort of honest and authentic person as Katy is, there's still this element of like, you know, she's got to stand up for what she was in 2007 and then what she was in 2010 and bring that all together in one, you know, cohesive ball. So it's quite hard to keep that up for an extended period of time. So I look forward to her taking a break and then maybe in 5 years coming back with an album of ballads or something. That'd be good.
Well, I can't wait for that. Katy, we love you.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.
Gem, the other day I got a call from Lauv.
Oh, that's so awesome.
The guy that does I Like Me Better and the new song we're about to play called There's No Way. We were talking about emo music and the stuff we used to listen to in like 2007, 2008. We were talking about one particular band. Do you remember this song?
Yes.
303. Almost forgot they had actually been a thing. So we're talking about how like we used to listen to kind of emo stuff and how the pop sensibilities in emo music, like choruses that are as poppy as that, now kind of influence the music he makes in 2018.
Yeah, you know, it was very natural for me over time. When I started writing songs when I was like 14, they were kind of, they always had that kind of emo-ish thread to them. And then I think, you know, like I started the whole idea of like, oh, there's like songwriters and producers that like work behind the scenes and write for other artists. And so I kind of started to like study some of that stuff and like, you know, get familiar with people like Max Martin and like Benny Blanco and like Luke and stuff like that. I started kind of just like studying the craft of songwriting. And so I kind of spent a few years doing that. And then I think like naturally the music that I started to make next just had some of that sensibility.
What's coming after There's No Way? What's the rest of the music sounding like?
I can't say yet. I mean, basically, I'm in the you know early process of working on my album. But you know, I've wanted to kind of keep releasing music in the meantime because you know I write so many songs.
Do you reckon that's how music kind of works now? That you're sort of putting out a constant output, you know, regardless of album cycles, is kind of important now?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially like for someone like me, you know, who's I see myself like very much in the early stages of my career. Like, I want to take my time, you know, write with a proper body of work and make sure the album really means something. But at the same time, I didn't see it as any reason that I couldn't keep putting music out that I loved, you know, in the meantime, that may or may not be a part of that album.
He's such a legend, a very futuristic music thinker. I think he is, Jim.
He is. He writes, like, the best songs, and they really just give you those feels, don't they?
Absolutely. I Like Me Better just reminds me every time of how lucky I am to have a boyfriend as good as mine.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Jem and Nick Kelly.
Very sad news we heard earlier this week. Logan, who's a little monster, he's been a part of the Lady Gaga fan base for, like, 10 years. He passed away. Which was so sad hearing, you know, waking up and hearing that news. Mm. And he went to heaps of Gaga shows. I remember I met him a few times in Perth and then in Sydney and Melbourne. He even travelled like to England and even Canada and America to see Gaga. And she ended up, she tweeted about it and said how she's lost for words hearing the death of our little monster, Logan. I've known him for 10 years and he followed us around the world and came to shows and always supported me. He was a beautiful person with a bursting heart. I'll cry a million tears. I love you, Logan.
Oh, man, that's awful. I mean, it's really sad when you hear a member of a community that you're a part of has passed away. And that's the great thing and also the awful thing about fandom is that it's such a community that when something sad happens, you all hurt, you all feel.
Yeah, definitely. And it's weird because like a few days ago, I remember seeing him on Facebook, like doing posts. And then the next minute, you know, you hear that, it's... you know, so devastating for everyone to hear. So
tragic news. Lots of love to all the Lady Gaga fans, including yourself, Jem, because that's just, it sucks when that happens.
This week tonight, double whammy.
And a lot of them chatting this week about the ARIA nominations because a lot of our favourite hitmakers were nominated for ARIAs this year.
So many.
The awards happening in November. The big winner this year, Amy Shark, is up for 9 awards. 9 of them.
That is massive, and she totally deserves it because she's been working like hard for the last few years. So
yeah. She. I want her to walk out like that meme of Adele with all the Grammys in her arms. I want her to walk out like that with Arias, although Arias are a much more dangerous award because they're a big, heavy, pointy thing.
Yeah.
I've touched an Aria before.
Ah, really?
It was underwhelming, and they're really easy to get fingerprints on. They smudge very easily. It's a very sort of dumb award. But, you know, means a lot. Finn Yao are up for 7 nominations. Dean Lewis up for 5. Peking Duck up for 5. Troye Sivan, who you're going to hear in a tick in this double whammy of ARIA-nominated artists, is up for 4. But I wanted to shine the light on an amazing win for an Australian artist this year. Jack River, who is... Holly Rankin is her real name. She's from Foster, which is a regional part of New South Wales.
Oh, I used to live there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, because you used to live in like around Taree, right?
Yeah, when I had got my radio job.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, she's from Foster, and she's a legend from Foster. She runs her own festival. She runs a couple of companies. She runs her own, basically, empire of music-related stuff. And it put out one of the best albums of the year, which I'm really happy to see get nominated for 3 awards, including Best Pop Release.
All the conversations your favourite hitmakers are having right now, this week tonight, with Gem and Nick Kelly.